Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where it's okay to not make any sense.
I am Mandy of Asgard.
And I'm Karen from Westview. And this is the first episode.
This is so exciting, our first episode.
It's going to be a little chaotic because we have the giggles.
We are chaotic and we have the giggles, but it would not be incoherent without a little bit of giggling and nerves and crazy.
Yeah, we're okay talking to each other, but apparently putting ourselves in front of the camera makes us very nervous.
Nervous and giggly.
Yes. Okay. So we'll start off with, I guess, intros.
Intros about us. So.
Do you want to go first? You have notes.
Yeah. As I said, I am Mandy of Asgard. When I am not at home with Loki, I live in Georgia with my husband, Josh, and four dogs. They kind of underline my fangirl life because all of them have names from It's a Wonderful Life, which is one of my big fandoms. It's a weird one to have, I know, because it was made in like the 30s and 40s, but I have George Bailey, the star. I have Harry Potter. George Bailey's brother is Harry, and if his name was going to be Harry, obviously his middle name was going to be Potter. I have Tilly LeClaire for Clarence, the angel who comes and helps George Bailey. And then I have Zuzu Grace for George Bailey's daughter, Zuzu. So if you ever wondered if I'm a fangirl, I named all of my dogs after a fandom.
I always thought in my head that George Bailey was from Grey's Anatomy. So I have learned something about you today.
No, it's from It's a Wonderful Life. It's my favorite movie of all time.
You're going to hate me in just a moment because I've never seen it.
Karen, you got to watch it. It's so good. I cry every time, every year.
It's my homework. It's my homework for the week.
It's a Christmas movie, so be ready for that. But
okay,
Beauty and the Beast is my OG fandom. Been it since I think I came out when I was three. Disney forever, all of it except for Princess and the Frog. I don't do Princess and the Frog. Marvel, all the books, Doctor Who, Sherlock. I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of them, but I'm on the spot and I love every fandom until you ask me what fandoms I love.
It's true. That's how it works. I am Karen from Westview, but when I'm not there hanging out with Wanda, I am living in California with my daughter, who is now seven, newly minted seven-year-old, and I'm not okay about it, but you know, what can you do? Yeah, it's just me and her, so yay, that's fun. My favorite fandoms. What are my favorite fandoms? That is an excellent question. Everything? That's easier than naming them. I love Marvel. I love Buffy and Firefly. And my favorite movie of all time is The Wizard of Oz.
That's a good one.
My favorite Disney princess is Mulan. Shocking, I know. And it's funny that you said Beauty and the Beast because I was thinking about it. And I never saw Beauty and the Beast until I had finished college, I think, or during college.
College?
Yes. And when I watched it, it was really funny because I watched it I was doing hours at a preschool for a class, and they had Beauty and the Beast on, and I happened to come in like halfway through. So I watched the second half, and then the kids wanted to restart it. And so then I watched the first half. And that is how I watched Beauty and the Beast. Oh my God.
Listen, all of this is Beauty and the Beast's fault. I wanted to be Belle when I grew up.
I went to a, not a library, I went to a bookstore when I was in Southern California a couple weeks ago. And they had one of the ladders where you like rolled it on the shelf. And it was amazing. Gold. It was kind of terrifying because it was kind of steep and it also got stuck. So I didn't go up on it, but it was cool to see.
I would live on it.
I'd go live on it.
Yeah, one day. So,
One day when you come and visit, we'll go to Southern California and go to the bookstore. That's the one that I sent you pictures of that had like the cool exterior.
Yes, that is the coolest bookstore I've ever seen.
It was very cool from the outside, but it was extremely chaotic from the inside. Like
my favorite kind of bookstore.
I was so overwhelmed. Like I walked in and I was like, okay, this is really cool. But I don't know. It was like sensory overload of some sort where I was like, I can't focus. I can't find what I'm looking for.
So that gets tough. Yeah. I just feel like the book that you need will call to you in situations like that. Like you'll locate it. If it's meant to be, you'll find it.
Well, I walked out of there with the entire 50 Shades series plus the book from that? I have read it. I've read the trilogy, but I haven't read the one from Christian's perspective.
I haven't either.
I got those four.
I listened to those on audio at work, like when they came out, and there's a bunch of us in my office and we would kind of chat about them on our breaks. And there was these guys, they were IT guys working on the wall behind us. Mm-hmm. And it was like the same time that Magic Mike came out. And they were talking about how much they hated Christian Grey. And they were like, and then what she need Magic Mike for? She's got Magic Chad out. And I remember just dying, like, oh, not Magic Chad.
Oh, no.
So we stopped talking about it at that point. We were like, we're making Chad feel self-conscious over here. We got to stop talking about Christian Grey on our lunch break.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious. Okay, so this segment is called Fictional Boyfriend of the Week.
Yay!
Yes, it is. And with a note that maybe sometimes it won't be a boy because boys suck. Except for fictional boys.
Fictional boys written by girls.
Yes, they are fantastic. We love them.
Yes.
Okay, you go first because I think it's funnier if I go after.
Okay, so I'm going to give a rundown of my typical suspects because a lot of times they don't change. I've had the same book boyfriend for about a year. Like my favorite was Lorca and Salvatore from Throne of Glass. A lot of people don't love him. I love him enough for all of us, every single one of us. He's amazing. But he got knocked down. He got knocked down at number two in January. I read Shatter Me. Mm-hmm. I am obsessed with Aaron Warner, which is insane because looking at my dating history, my fandom boyfriend history, I don't go for blondes very often, which is, I'm a blonde. I love a blonde. I don't want to date a blonde. I don't want to. all of my interests have always been dark, tall, dark. Ever since I was like 14 and saw Prisoner of Azkaban and Sirius Black walks out, I was done. Gary Oldman as Sirius Black was everything. So tall, dark, and bearded. Aaron Warner is short, blonde. I never would have thought that this would have been a character that I'm like, I don't know if anybody will ever unseat him. I don't know if anybody could ever come close to Aaron Warner. So I know you haven't read it yet. I'm going to need you to get on these. I read like 9 books in a week.
Because I remember that. I remember you being like, originally being like no, and then you were you were head over heels.
Talk about it. Yes, I had to like issue a formal apology I doubted you based on your height
and your hair color.
It was like a day later too. I was like,
it really was. It was back to back.
Yeah, it was instant. I was like, oh, he says how tall he is. Man, I'm not gonna. And then like 3 pages later, I was like, oh. Wait, he does this monologue. You'll know it when you get to it.
Okay.
He does this monologue that is just like chef's kiss, so sweet and wonderful. Past him, I'm a Loki girl forever and ever, and I have been from the start, and I will be until the end of time. I know you also haven't read Crescent City, but I'm also a big Rune Danann girl. It's not really a spoiler for the newest book at all, but he has a lip ring. He's got a lot of piercings, but he has a lip ring. And it was so distracting in the book because when he was thinking, it would say, Rune toyed with his lip ring. And it was like, you have to stop doing that. Nobody's going to pay attention to what's actually happening. If you keep toying with your lip ring, please stop. And then another one that I need you to read is From Blood and Ash, because I am a Castile girl. I would choose Castile Denier over Rhysand any day of the week. Yeah, I wouldn't think that would be a thing either.
That is shocking. I am shocked to my core.
Okay, Castile has flaws. Rhys does not, but it makes Castile more real.
Okay. And then I'd argue that Rhys has some flaws. Just his...
Yeah.
Like his... I don't know. I mean, I feel like Feyre kind of describes him, idolizes him in a way that makes it seem
that's
like he's
true.
But I
that's
feel like true. He does have some flaws. He does have some flaws.
Okay. Castile has more. He seems more realistic. Like you could find a Castile in the wild somewhere.
Okay. That's fair.
And then last but absolutely not least is Alec Gunn from The Night the Stars Fell. Beat of my heart. I love him so much. He's so sweet. He's such an angel.
I'm so jealous that you got to read the arc. I'm so mad.
I was going to say, I went into it afraid that it was going to like maybe knock him down a few pegs, but it only made me love him more. It really did. Yeah, that arc is amazing. That comes out in April. April will get Scar's Alex story. And then we can fangirl over it.
In April.
On an episode. Yeah, not too much longer, just a month.
I know, it's close. We're already, what is it, March 6th. Oh, speaking of March 6th, this is completely off topic, but I found out this morning that it is Mirabelle's birthday.
Happy birthday, Mirabelle.
She is
16. We're recording on March 6th.
We are recording on March 6th. And a tweet. I don't know when this is coming out. We haven't decided yet. But there was a
just
tweet
say happy late birthday.
Jared Bush,
when you listen,
he was like, it's March 6th, it's Mirabelle's birthday. That's
happy
cute
birthday.
It's her 16th Mirabelle birthday. Yay.
Sweet 16.
Yay. I and she her resolved her family trauma.
Yes, she did.
All right, it's my turn, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I will start
I'm excited for this.
I will start this with my like not my week, but just in general, my fictional boyfriends. I am forever a Bucky Barnes stan. I am in love with Bucky Barnes. And he was extremely hot as the Winter Soldier, even though he was kind of like a murderer, but that's fine. It's fine.
I like White Wolf girl.
That's good. All of it. Oof. All of Bucky. Every era of Bucky. 40s Bucky, Winter Soldier Bucky, White Wolf Bucky, Bucky working through his trauma, all of it. Bucky. So Bucky, Wanda Maximoff is my girl.
She's so gorgeous.
She's gorgeous. Beautiful. I love her. I cried when I found out that Elizabeth Olsen got married. It was devastating.
It's so rude because she's the only one that I would be okay with Tom Hiddleston marrying because they're so perfect. Like
they're
if you
adorable
watch them together,
they're adorable.
So it's sad that
they dated briefly, didn't they? I feel
either,
like I
either that or they were just like seen around a lot.
Yeah,
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was PR or if they were dating.
But they're very cute friends.
Yes,
but
they
are. I don't care what happens in Multiverse of Madness. I don't care who dies. Wanda forever. I will
forever
defend her forever. Mm-hmm. I don't care what happens.
Yeah.
I'll be sad
she's
about it.
She's a bad guy, so are we. We'll be on her side if she becomes a bad guy.
Wanda is my villain origin story. Let's see who else. I don't know. Those are my two big ones, and they're both Marvel. I feel like there has to be something else, but I didn't take notes, so I don't know. But for this week, I'm going to say that dating is stupid, and there will be no more boyfriends here further out, because I watched Fresh, and I am traumatized. I watched Fresh again.
I haven't watched it yet.
So Fresh premiered at Sundance on January 20th, and it was all virtual. So I bought a ticket and I watched it. And I've been sitting on it for a month and a half because it just released Friday, March 4th. So nobody has seen it yet unless they watched it at Sundance. So I have been living with this trauma for a month and a half in silence.
Oh my God.
So I love Sebastian Stan. I love him. And this movie just proves to me how wonderful of an actor he is that I am terrified of him.
Yeah.
It's really good. That's your homework for the
week.
I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, that's my homework.
It's a Wonderful Life and you'll watch Fresh.
Okay. So Sebastian Stan is your boyfriend of the week. Or the character.
Sebastian Stan's character, who is
Sebastian Stan's your boyfriend forever.
Sebastian Stan is the love of my life and is the reason why I don't need to date, because if my standards are Sebastian Stan, why even date?
You're not going to find anybody.
Sebastian Stan's character, Steve, has decided that I will not be choosing a boyfriend of the week because it's scary.
Okay.
Boyfriends are scary.
You know what? That's funny too. It's funny that you said that because I didn't say my book boyfriend of the week. Or like my fictional boyfriend of the week. I've been rereading the Red Queen series, which I listened to years ago at work, but I don't think I ever finished. I don't think I finished the last book. And I'm a Maven girl. And he is so dark and so mean and so awful through most of it that it's just like, how? How? But even re-listening, I don't know if you've read Red Queen or not, but I hate the brother that she kind of likes. Mm-hmm. That's not really a spoiler because it's like from the jump it's going to be a love triangle. I hate the brother. A lot of people love him. I'm like, no, it's Maven. It's something about Maven. I don't know what it is.
We like the dark men.
Yes, give me morally. He's not morally gray. He's morally no morals, but I can't help it. I'm weak.
Give us the sociopath.
Yes, I need a sociopath.
The fictional sociopath, not the real life one.
Also written by a woman.
We know how to write them because we're writing for us.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So there we go. That is our fictional boyfriends of the week.
Yes.
I have none because I'm terrified of boyfriends now. And yours is Maven from the Red Queen.
Maven. I think his last name is Kalor, but don't quote me on that.
Well, I'll believe whatever you say. I haven't read it.
I can't remember. Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Next up, I have written down this week in fangirling.
Okay.
So I will start, because I have my stuff next to me. Last night I finished this book, The Dressmakers of Auschwitz, by Lily Adlington. It's a nonfiction, which I was not prepared for. I thought it was a fiction book and I was gonna go in and, you know, witness like mild trauma and then be okay. So it's nonfiction. It's about the women in Auschwitz who one of the like commanders or the head of the concentration camp's wife wanted to have like fancy clothes or whatnot, and found out that these women were able to sew and sew really nice things. So there was a full-on like dress salon in Auschwitz.
No idea.
Me either. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So it is. I read the first chapter and then I had to take a break because I didn't know it was nonfiction. But then
yeah, you got to be in the right headspace. Yeah.
So when I finally finished it, I started it last month. So when I finally finished it, I was like, okay. And it's really eye-opening because you don't like, I didn't know that this happened. I didn't know that it was a whole like sewing studio and stuff. And it takes a lot of like firsthand accounts or secondhand accounts. Like the author was able to interview one of the survivors of the Holocaust and one of the dressmakers. And so she got that story. She was put in touch with a lot of the children and the grandchildren of the other dressmakers. So I think it's an important story to read.
Absolutely.
Never knew about it. So that's what I read this week. And I am currently reading A Constellation of Roses, which was a Once Upon a Book Club book. I don't know if you have this one. But
I might.
You might.
I have a few boxes I haven't opened yet. I'm behind.
I am on chapter 7, so I haven't gotten very far, but it's about this like teenage girl who is like she was in foster care because her dad's dead and her mom is like away somewhere. I can't really remember. and so she ends up they find like a paternal aunt who she can live with instead of going to foster care. And so she chooses to stay there. And I just started. So, but apparently there's interesting things about this family that we're going to find out. So, but I like it so far. I wanted to keep reading, but I knew I had to go to bed and get up early to do this. So I did it. So those are my books for the week. I'm also currently in the middle of binging Castle. I'm on season 5, I believe. I never watched Castle. All of it. I loved it. I think it premiered when I was in college, and my friends and I would like watch it every week, and I kind of fell off after college ended. And so I restarted it from the beginning, and I'm on season 5 now, and I think there's like 9 seasons. So
wow.
But it's really funny. It's Nathan Fillion. Like I love him. Yeah. He was like my first major like crush in Hollywood. I love him. And then this week I also watched Turning Red and Fresh, which we can talk about after you do your thing.
Okay. Okay. So I mentioned already that I'm rereading Red Queen. I like to, when I'm working, I work from home, and I get phone calls and instant messages all day, but I'm able to, obviously I can't sit and physically read a book, but I can listen. So I've never known until very recently that I could read 2 books at one time. Like I've always thought that I had to have that one track, you're reading one thing, but it may be because I've read these before. Mm-hmm. I listen to books at work and then I'll read at night. So I finished Red Queen again, and I'm starting the second one, Glass Sword. Probably tomorrow I'll start Glass Sword. And it's funny that you read the Dressmakers of Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I was trying to say Dresskeepers. I read Firekeeper's Daughter, which is downstairs. I don't know why I didn't think to bring it up here, but it's fictional. It's a fictional account, but it follows a teenage girl who lives on a reservation she's in Michigan, but kind of near the Canadian border. And this guy comes to their school. They're really big in hockey. That's like a hockey area.
Yeah.
Her brother is a great hockey player. She's a great hockey player. And this guy comes to their school, who's like the new mysterious dude. And people start dying of methamphetamine overdoses. And she is kind of looped into investigating them with law enforcement. And it's a hard, it's a difficult read, because there, without giving spoilers, I do want to give a trigger warning. There is a rape scene. I almost didn't finish it because I normally can't listen or read rape scenes. They're just hard for me. But I talked to our friend Shanti Nelson, and she said, it was Fade to Black. It's hard to listen to, but it's not very in depth. It's a YA range book. So I pressed on, and I'm glad I did, because this is reality for so many Indigenous women. It was written by an Indigenous woman. And so it felt like I needed to know and remember that, like, if you look into like missing and murdered Indigenous women, this is their reality, you know, that, because nobody ever does anything about the fact that the character is assaulted. They just kind of, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter. And that is reality. And then the end of the book, you know, there are so many resources about percentages of Indigenous women versus, you know, any other race of women.
There's such a higher percentage of all of that.
Yeah. And it's made me want to read more, both fictional and non-fictional accounts from Indigenous people and Indigenous women, because it's so important that we know, because if we know, then more of us can stand up and say, like, no, something has to be done. We can't just let this go. We can't just turn the blind eye. So it was really good. It's a difficult read, but it's an important read. So I would urge everyone to read it.
I thought it was really interesting. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Cause
I was going to say, I felt like I really needed to like finish Dressmakers like now, especially in the time that we're in now with everything that's happening.
Yes.
I'm like, this is why we need to study our history so that we don't repeat it. Because clearly this stuff can happen again, and we really need to realize like how bad it was, so that we don't repeat it. Like, it's insane. Like, people just need to have a little more empathy for their fellow man, just
your fellow man.
So I think it's very timely, unfortunately, that we have these books at this time.
And this one, I knew that it was I'd seen it on Book Talk. I knew it was popular. Honestly, the only reason I started it was because we were traveling and I needed a book while I was driving, and it was available on Libby. I went down, you know, available audiobooks that are popular, and it was available for instant download. And so it was like, well, this is on my TBR.
Yeah.
But it was just, again, hard read, difficult to read at some points, but very, very necessary.
Absolutely.
And then tell me about your movies. I've got a book that I'm reading too.
Oh, okay.
I've got Circus of Wonders. Once Upon a Book Club 2022 book. So this is about a girl named Nell who she was born with birthmarks like speckling her face and her like half of her body. And it seems like it's taking place. It was 1860. So
okay.
Circus mania, you know, circuses are starting up with freaks of nature. Mm-hmm. And it's a spoiler, but it's not. It's in a dust jacket. Her father ends up selling her to the circus as a leopard girl. She's 19 years old.
Okay.
Because everyone in the town kind of thinks that if they touch her, if they get near her, they're going to catch her birthmarks.
Right.
And so I'm not very far in. I'm only 73 pages in right now, but it's been good so far. I haven't opened a gift yet in the Once Upon a Book Club, which we can talk about Once Upon a Book Club a little bit later on. But
I was going to say, do you want to explain Once Upon a Book Club?
I can. I have one in my lap.
Explain it to people who don't know what it is.
Okay, so Once Upon a Book Club is a monthly subscription box. They come in, the adult boxes come in pink, and then there's YA offerings that are teal and they're a little bit bigger. And so you pay monthly and you get, this is the Dig Deeper box. You get a little package that has normally a signed book plate, a bookmark, normally some sort of print. Then you get the book, so you can add the book, the signed book plate into it. Normally there's a letter from the author. And then the book will be marked. Let me find one without, okay. So you start reading your book just like you would, and you'll get to a part in the book that says open your gift. You'll find a little sticky note. So you go to that corresponding page. So this one's page 79, and you'll have a gift to open, and the gift will typically correspond with whatever's happening at that point in the story. This book looks like it has 4 gifts. So I don't know what's in them. I haven't read this yet, so I don't want to open them and spoil the surprises.
Yeah.
But I have a stack of Once Upon a Book Club books that I need to open. I've never had a Once Upon a Book Club book that I didn't absolutely love. It's just hard to, it seems like they come so fast because I have such a big TBR outside of them too.
Yeah.
But they're wonderful. And we do have a coupon code that we can share if anybody wants to check out Once Upon a Book Club. If you put in code Mandy10 at checkout, you can get 10% off of your purchase. And I highly recommend, I love it. Both of us are currently reading Once Upon a Book Club books. So
yes, we are.
That tells you anything.
I'm not subscribed to Once Upon a Book Club, but I borrowed a bunch of books from our dear friend Heather Walker. And the majority of them were Once Upon a Book Club books, like, because I can tell because they've got the sticker on them.
Which do come off. They do come off. Yes. If we're anti-stickers. I normally keep mine on for book club, but that's the only one.
I think it's cute. But yes. So we are both reading Once Upon a Book Club books, even though I don't get the subscription, which I'm thinking
I do. You should. And I do post unboxings on TikTok. So if you want to see what type of gifts normally come in them, if you're not sure if you want to subscribe yet, anybody can go check out my TikTok and just look. I have several. I'll be doing an unboxing video for Circus of Wonders as soon as I finish it.
And what's your TikTok, Mandy?
Oh, it's Mandy Perv. We'll link to those.
We'll link to those.
I'm not going to point because
we will link to it somewhere.
Somewhere. There will be a link you can find. Okay, so now for this week in fangirling that's not books, we'll talk about it more next week. The Batman. Can I just say, I have never in my life ever been a DC person. I am a Marvel girl through and through. I didn't even mention him at the beginning of the fandoms, which is a travesty, honestly. I've been a Spider-Man girl since I could walk. I bonded over Spider-Man with my favorite uncle. He's 10 years older than me, so that was our way to relate to each other, I guess. I don't care about DC. I hate to say it that way, but I never cared about DC. I would go to DC movies and watch DC shows because my husband was watching it or my friends were wanting to go. I would go to be a team player. I went in expecting to be disappointed. I was blown away. It was so good. Robert Pattinson, and again, I was a Team Jacob girl. I was not an Edward girl. I wanted no part of Edward Cullen, even though I did argue when they cast him as Edward Cullen that he would do great, and I don't feel like he did do great as Edward Cullen.
I think he just didn't want to be there, and so he didn't put forward his best performance. Yeah, I think all of the cast is a lot better at acting than their performances in Twilight.
Yes. I talk about a lot recently. I've talked about how he is such a phenomenal actor, but people give him a bad rap because they're like, oh, is he going to sparkle in the sun?
Yeah.
And it sucks because he is so good. What is it? The Devil All the Time, where he plays creepy Southern preacher. Like, he's amazing. It seems like, you know, we say that Tom Holland was born to be Spider-Man. Like, I feel like Robert Pattinson was born to be the Batman, which is crazy.
Ooh, and then okay.
My husband didn't love it like I did. He kind of thought that it dragged on. He didn't appreciate it as much. I'm an emo kid. Okay.
Yeah.
So emo Bruce Wayne, I am completely here for. I loved it all. We can discuss more things later once you've seen it.
We will talk about it hopefully next week. I haven't seen The Batman yet. Only because I normally go to movies on Saturdays, which was yesterday from when we are recording. And yesterday I went to a special screening of Turning Red.
Yay!
And so I was movied out for the day. And they could not be more different in tone.
No, gosh.
No. So it's fun. It's fun that yours is the Batman this
Dark.
Week because I went. This was a fun movie. So it's Disney Pixar's newest movie, Turning Red. It comes out on Disney Plus this Friday, I believe, the 11th. And it's only going to be on Disney Plus. It's not going to be in theaters, which is really kind of sad, but I was yeah. really glad that I got to, I really wanted to see it on the big screen. So I'm really glad that I got to. It was a special screening held by SF Film, who are the people who put on the San Francisco Film Festival every year. I think I previously had said to somebody that it was like part of the film festival. It's not, the film festival's next month, but it was put on by the same people, and it was a free event to the community. And it was really cute. Obviously the trailer has shown it's about this 13-year-old girl, Maylin, who turns into a red panda when she has strong emotions. For me, I'm trying to keep it as spoiler free as possible. For me, watching it, the dynamic and the relationship of Maylin and her mom is just, I felt like I was watching my childhood. Like it yeah. was so relatable. Their relationship was so much like mine with my mom. So that was really cool to be like, oh, it's not just me. It wasn't just me. Like yeah. other kids went through this exact thing. So it's a really cute coming of age story. And I made a TikTok about it yesterday when I got home, but it's, you know how Pixar films typically like hit you with like sadness and trauma.
I was gonna say your TikTok shot
it.
Me. Your TikTok, like,
There was, I think, I want to say there was maybe like one moment where I like felt sad, but it wasn't in the way, like, it's not like the beginning of Up, or it's not like, right. you know,
the
like
Dinosaur.
Right. So it's not, you're not being traumatized to get to that feel good moment. Like it's pretty feel good throughout there. And the stakes of this movie, like every movie has like a conflict, right? The stakes of this movie are so low, but when you think of it from the viewpoint of a 13-year-old girl, they are like astronomical.
Yeah.
So they did it really well. And after the screening, there was a Q&A with the director, Domi Shi, who was the director of the Pixar short Bao, which I also love.
Yeah. I love that.
It was very cute. And then the producer, Lindsay Collins, who I think also did like Inside Out and Toy Story 4 and some other things. Like she's been with Pixar a while. So that was really cool. They actually opened the floor to like all the kids to ask questions, which was really cute. It was really cute. And there was one,
that.
It was great. There was one, I think she was 9 years old. There was a 9-year old who asked a question, which I don't want to ask the question because it's kind of a spoiler.
Okay.
But
ask it next week.
Yeah. Well, you can talk about that too after you've seen it. So she asked this question and literally the entire room just went, oh, like it was such a profound question for a 9-year old. Like it was a very profound question. And I was just like sitting there. I was like, oh my gosh, our children are so smart nowadays. So yeah, we can talk about that when you've seen it, because I think it's slightly spoilery, so I don't want to ask it.
Yeah. Next week we can have fangirl films.
Yes.
Spoiler alerts.
I know. Listen for this segment. This next segment is just going to be spoilers. It was really cool because Lindsay Collins mentioned that this film was the first Pixar film where the entire film leadership team was all female.
Yay! Yeah.
It was a female led team film production, and I felt it. Really great.
Yeah, it was not, because I looked up after I left the Batman. It's funny that you should say that, because mm-hmm. I feel, you know, we've got this trend lately, which I love in Hollywood, is that you're seeing more movies and shows that are geared towards the female gaze. Mm-hmm. Like Loki was made mm-hmm. for women.
Yeah.
People can argue with me. I'm going to tell them they're wrong. Loki yes. was made for the girls.
Yes.
I looked up the cast and crew of Batman when we left, because I was like, that movie was made for the female gaze.
Yeah.
And we can talk about it more, but it's funny that, you know, both movies seemed to be there was only like 2 out of 8 producers that uh-huh. were females on yeah. Batman, but it seemed like that was for the ladies. That was for
well, and I saw a tweet earlier today, like literally just this morning, where somebody was like saying how people are complaining that there were very few women in the film, but Batman's like, again, I haven't seen it, but Batman's like inner circle or the people that he was working with were like
yeah.
female or people of color, or like, you know,
yeah.
It was more diverse than just him talking to white men.
And there really weren't a lot of characters, not really. Mm-hmm. But they're also like,
they're fleshed out.
You know who yeah. the villains are in Batman. You can't yeah. make, you know, I mean, I guess you could. You could rewrite, you know.
Yeah.
But if you know what they look like in the comics, mm-hmm. you can't really, you can change it, but you can't, it wouldn't be as authentic,
right?
I guess.
And then you
get
didn't
feel that way.
Yeah.
I try to
watch these things as separately from the source material as possible, because
yeah,
I
feel
like a lot of people try and be like, well, this was different and that's why it's bad. I'm like, well, if you look at it as, for the perfect example is Crazy Rich Asians. And I know you haven't read the books yet, but
I know I need to.
You do. It's another thing to add to your never ending list. But the movie, I watched the movie before I read the book. And I love that movie. It's one of my comfort movies. I rewatch yeah. it all the time. And it's really well done. But then when you go and read the book, it's very different. It is very different from the movie. It's almost like it's a completely yeah. different story, just with the same characters. But I feel like that's the best way for me to watch it, is to watch it first,
separate.
And then read the source material so you can separate them and appreciate them separately, because right. reading the book didn't take away from my experience of the movie, but I feel like if I had read the book first and then watched the movie, it would have taken away my experience of the movie.
Yeah,
so you have to be able to separate person. That yeah
yeah like with Harry Potter when they burned down the Burrow.
Yeah.
I why? Screamed why? In the theater. Just what is why? happening?
That's why
I was really
I learned a few years, not a few years, it's been quite a while, it was actually back in like high school, but I learned years back that I should not read books just to be able to watch the movie, because yeah. I will not, I when the Da Vinci Code was coming out, I was convinced I needed to read the book first and then go see the movie. And that was the worst possible decision I could yeah. have possibly ever made. I recently rewatched The Da Vinci Code. And as if I watch it, just the movie, without thinking about the book, which I haven't read in many years, it's fine. It's a fine movie.
Yeah, it's fine.
But
when you read the book, literally I read the book and then the next day went and watched the movie. So it was just the worst possible choice.
I've heard that about Wheel of Time. I was like, I was talking to some friends here recently and I was like, I've got to read all the books first. And they were like, no, don't
do it.
Just watch the show. And I think the best worst example is Aragorn. I read all the Aragorn books. I loved them. They're great. That movie was hot trash. It was disrespectful. The only similarities was that there was a boy named Aragorn, a dragon named Saphira, and orcs. Nothing else was right. Nothing else was the same. And I feel like the world is owed reparations from anybody who is subjected to the Aragorn movie is owed back taxes or something. They're owed some money back.
Some apologies. I follow a TikToker, and I think you might follow her too, or maybe you just know of her, Jay Stoops on TikTok.
I love her.
But I watched something that she said not too long ago where she was talking about how book to movie adaptation or book to film adaptations are best done as like mini series. And I could not agree more. Have you read His Dark Materials series?
No, but I want to, because the show was so good.
So the thing is with that, and this is the perfect example, because I read the books a while back, like a long time ago, so I didn't really remember them. I watched the show and I was like, this is phenomenal. And I was like, I want to reread the books. So I reread the books and it is, I kid you not, it is almost like to a T what happens in the books.
I love that. And like they have the time.
They have the time. So the first season is book one, the second season is book two, and then the third season will be book three, and then they'll be done. And I it's so true. Like the best format for a book to film adaptation is a miniseries, because you have so much more.
You get all those little details. You have time to show the little scenes that the reader loves. And that's another example from Harry Potter. When they were making the fifth movie, they wanted to cut Creature, and the seventh book wasn't out yet, and JK Rowling, which I don't love her.
Let's just say that we do not support JK Rowling. We love Harry Potter,
not at all,
not JK Rowling.
We love Harry Potter, not her. But she was like, you don't understand how valuable this character is going to be later. You can't cut them just because you think they're a minor character. But that happens in book to movie adaptations, where like a good example would be, I would love a Throne of Glass show. I think that it could be adapted to a mini series so well.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence about the ACOTAR show.
And we've talked about this.
I would much rather have a Throne of Glass show. I feel like it would be much more epic. Mm-hmm. And how are they going to make a Court of Silver Flames, a show?
There's just gonna be a lot of episodes
that are just that.
Yeah. That would be very, very interesting.
That's gonna be, your kid's gonna have to be shipped out of the house the show to be able to even play in the house.
It would be bad. But I was talking to a friend of mine recently about this same topic, like books to film. And could you imagine what a beautiful world it would have been if we had Harry Potter as a miniseries? And I never want it to happen now, because I don't want JK Rowling to get royalties. But
I don't want her to get money.
It would have been beautiful. We would have gotten.
It really would have.
And you know, it's just, it's really sad that miniseries weren't as like a big thing as they are now. Like they're becoming, I feel like they're becoming more and more.
They are prevalent. Now.
Yeah, now. So it's really, it was just a bad time for it. Like Harry Potter would have been the perfect miniseries.
And I'm glad I grew up with the movies too, right? Like mm-hmm. We were the same age as Harry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we grew up with yep. him and the actors.
Yeah.
So it was cool, but I really wish it had been a mini series. And I'm also struggling. I hate it. I hate it so much. I'm struggling to even be excited for Fantastic Beasts now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's
I'm struggling. I don't know. I'm struggling with it too. Like I want to watch it just to finish it out, but I also am just like,
oh, you're not getting more money from me.
I know. So it's rough. It's rough.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens when it comes out. But
yeah.
We went all over the place with that.
We sure did. What's it about? Spoiler-free
rundown of Fresh. Okay, so Fresh follows a girl named Noah, who is played by Daisy Edgar Jones, as she is navigating dating in the modern world. And okay. Sebastian Stan comes in as a love interest, and she has to navigate her way around his interesting dating habits, I guess,
okay.
is the best way to say it. When the movie starts, I immediately am mad at men, first of all.
Are we always?
And it's so real, like watching it, a single person in 2022, as a single woman in 2022, trying to date, it was very, very realistic and very authentic to the dating world. So it starts off and you're like, okay, cool. And then there is a moment and you'll understand in the moment that it's happening, but there is a shift. And then you're like, okay, we're doing this. It's almost like two separate movies.
Interesting.
It's very interesting. It's very well done. The director, Mimi Cade, it's her directorial debut. And I'm really excited to see what else she comes out with, because cinematography is gorgeous. The performances are amazing. Noah has a bestie in the film, and she's played by JoJo T. Gibbs, who I would love to see more of in the world. She was hilarious and amazing. So yes.
Awesome.
Fresh on Hulu. We are not sponsored. Okay. What's next? What do you want to talk about next?
We can talk about what we're anticipating or where our money went.
Okay.
Where our money has start gone.
And I will follow your lead.
All right. I'll talk about where my money went. This wasn't this week, but I'm just excited about it. I have to sit up a little bit. This shirt. So I recently got a thigh dagger tattoo.
Yes.
Because all of the cool girls in all of the cool books have thigh daggers. I want one.
Mm-hmm.
We can post a photo of it. But
we'll post it somewhere.
My tattoo artist is really cool. His name's Micah. He drew me a dagger, and it's got "Love is a Dagger" from Loki written on one side of it. So I reached out to Kaylee with Semicolon Designs, and I was like, I need a shirt that says, and so it says, "The feminine urge to strap a dagger to my thigh." I bought like 4 or 5 shirts at that time, the same time I ordered this. One of them is like a skeleton with a, like, it's a close-up of the rib cage, and it says, "The quickest way to a man's heart is through the 4th and 5th rib."
I love that.
I can't remember the other ones I bought, but I know I bought several from her. I just love them. And then I got a pre-order in. So I am all about the comfort. I want to be comfortable 100% of the time. I want to be cozy. So I have an unending, undying love for Book Beans. They're made by BookBow. They teased a new print recently, and I pre-ordered it, and it came in, and it is Disney Snacks and Disney. Oh,
I love.
So I'm obsessed with it. I have one that's kind of Harry Potter-ish. It's not licensed or anything.
Right.
But yeah, this one is just, I mean, there's a frying pan.
That's amazing.
Tangled. Then there's like Disney snacks. So there's a Dole Whip and there's little macaroons that are Mickey shaped. And then there's characters too.
I love that. That's perfect to lead into the other thing you're anticipating this month.
Well, yeah. I am going to Disney. I was like, wait, what is it? I forgot.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Disney. I'm going to Disney World with my mom. We're just going to do an Epcot day, but we normally go, I have my nieces, they live with me half of the year. Their dad has to be overseas for work. So we typically go to do Magic Kingdom with them once a year, but they're 13. So we've gone every year since they were two.
And
now they're better, but back then it was do all the things for the littles, you know, make sure they have a good time. So when it's my mom and I, just the two of us, we get like, we're going to get a reservation for Le Cellier in Canada at Epcot. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have like a nice dinner reservation and we're going to be kind of laid back and not, you know, having to do this, so the kids can see it all. It's going to be, and we're going to be able to drink around the world without having to be responsible for minors.
Yes.
Without having to restrain ourselves. So I'm doing at the end of the month. And then do we want to talk about things that we're anticipating this week? Or maybe you should tell me where your money went first. And then I have a big one that I'm anticipating this week.
Okay. Well, my money went to Grimoire Tea this week. She dropped her Alice mystery box this week, as well as a couple new teas in Handmade Haven this past weekend, or I guess yesterday. So that's where my money went. But I also got in and I didn't grab it. So that's no fun, but you've seen the picture. I got a pre-order in. I got two pre-orders in, but this first one I got was from L. Hoffer Design, which is a small business located in Los Angeles, and they have like a small manufacturing in Los Angeles, so they're phenomenal. But it was my Chaos Witch tunic and leggings. Yes. So it is full on like Wanda Maximoff at the end of WandaVision.
Amazing.
Her outfit. I already had the little like tiara headband that I had gotten a while back from GameStop. So I am so excited.
It is so cool.
I'll post a picture of it somewhere. But I love it so much. I was really worried about fit because I'm like such a weird shape. I don't fit into like all the measurements for specific sizes.
It fits perfectly.
It fits like a glove. The only issue that I have, two issues. One is that it's an invisible zipper, which are the worst to like zip, but it looks really good with the invisible zipper. So I wouldn't have it any other way. It's just a pain to zip it up. But the only like fit issue is that I am a very short person. I am 5'1". So the leggings are very, very scrunched at the bottom. But I'm like, I'm going to get boots. So nobody's going to see that. So it's fine.
Nobody will see it. It'll be fine.
It fits like a freaking glove. I was so worried, and it's amazing.
It looked great. It really did. It looked awesome.
I just want to wear it and walk around the house with it.
I don't understand why you're not wearing it now.
Because I put it away, and it takes a lot of effort to get into. It's really hard to zip up an invisible zipper in the back by yourself. And it like goes all the way up the back because it's like,
that is what you have a child for.
Girl, she can't zip an invisible zipper. Other zippers, yes. But an invisible zipper, those
invisible
are
one, she'd be like, yeah, that's true. That's
and fair. they feel so delicate too, because it's like so thin. I mean, I'm sure they're fine, but it just feels delicate, and then it's like gets stuck easily. Yeah. So that's one of the things that I got that I was really excited about. My other pre-order that came in is a book, and I showed you the other day, but I got 1,000 Steps Into Night by Tracy Chi. I believe it is her debut novel. I think. Now I'm second guessing myself. It might not be. I might be lying. I'll look it up and re-record something later. But
yeah,
it's 1,000 Steps in Tonight by Tracy Chi. And oh, it says New York Times bestselling author. So it's not her debut novel. I was wrong. I lied. I'm sorry. but let's see. I have no idea what it's about, but I think it's about a girl who finds out she's a demon. It seems to be.
Ooh,
so
that's interesting.
I'm interested. I bought it because it's, first of all, a pretty cover, but also yeah. because Tracy is an AAPI author, and I have been on a major kick where I've been following AAPI authors and pre-ordering their books and stuff. So that's where my money went this week. which, speaking of AAPI authors, leads right into what I'm anticipating, which is at the end of this month, I have two more book pre-orders that are coming in. The first is A Forgery of Roses by Jessica S. Olson. Again, I don't know what any of these books are about. They just look really pretty. And as Mandy has told me, if the cover is pretty, the book can't be good or can't be bad. It can't be bad.
You're right.
If a book cover is pretty, it can't be bad. That is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
So that's the first book. And the second book is A Magic Steeped in Poison by Judy I. Lin. I believe I'm 90% certain this time that it is her debut book. And it is actually part of a duology, which I have both of the books were already up for pre-order. So I've pre-ordered both books, but this one comes out at the end of this month. And it's, I think it's about like tea, which I'm really interested in. Like there's other stuff involved, obviously, but it's called A Magic Steeped in Poison. And then the second book in the duology is called A Venom something and sweet. I'm really good at this. I should have written that down. But so those two books I have on pre-order, which are both releasing on March 29th. And then the last thing I'm anticipating for this month is Moon Knight releases on March 30th.
Yes.
And I know next to nothing about this character. I am so excited.
Yeah, same. I
recently watched Scenes from a Marriage with Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaac, and so I'm really pumped to see Oscar Isaac in this role. Like, I don't know that I've watched him in anything before, but it was before that, so I'm excited to see this role.
Yeah, me too. I'm pumped.
It sounds real like it sounds like it's gonna be dark, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah. That's another, I mean, that circles back to Batman. It's very dark, but I think that they've realized that they cannot compete with Marvel when it comes to making superhero things. You're not going to beat Marvel. You're not going to be better. And so they're like, let's take a darker, more psychological thriller approach than it's a superhero. But I'm excited to see like dark Marvel, which I feel like multiverse is going to be kind of
multiverse looks dark
too.
The Defenders series were very like darker street level kind of series, which are coming to Disney Plus. Did you see that?
No.
So the Defenders series, so Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, the Defenders, and the Punisher, the Netflix series, have been removed from Netflix as of March 1st. And they are officially coming to Disney Plus March 16th.
I did not see that.
So it's gonna be I don't pay attention to ratings. But apparently these are like rated R. And so these will be the first rated R things on Disney Plus.
On Disney Plus.
So Disney Plus is like reworking their parental controls and stuff. So it's going to be really interesting. What I think is going to be really interesting and is going to cause a lot of tension in the fandom is where they put them. because if you go to the Marvel tab on Disney Plus, you've got Marvel Cinematic Universe, where you've got all of, you know, the MCU movies, and then you've got Marvel Legacy movies, where you've got like X-Men and stuff.
X-Men.
So it'll be interesting to see where they put these, because this might officially confirm whether or not they're considered canon to the MCU. So it's gonna cause a big thing when it comes out, I think, among the fandom. Me personally, the multiverse exists, everything's canon.
Yeah, right.
But people are very pressed about this.
We've talked about this. The multiverse exists, which means there are infinite realities where you're already married to Sebastian Stan.
Yes. But I just don't understand why people don't accept the multiverse as like, the multiverse exists, therefore we are currently in the MCU. Yeah. This is a different, this is a reality as part of the MCU. Like, that means everything is canon, people. The multiverse exists.
All of it does.
Yes, there is a world. There is a timeline where I am already married to Sebastian Stan. And we are happy and in love.
I hope that in that multiverse you introduce me to Tom Hiddleston.
I can't imagine a world where I don't introduce you to Tom Hiddleston if I have the opportunity. Like, it would be one of those moments where I'd be like at like a convention or something where he's at, and I'd be like, can you hold on a second? I need to call my friend. She's actually the one like that. There's no world where I
love to. Can I tell you something?
Yes.
There, I don't know. I feel like it might have been this past weekend and we didn't get to go, but it may have been in February. But there was a Comic-Con in Atlanta and Sebastian Stan was there.
Yeah. I sent you that link.
Yes, I for real looked into, you're going to die. I wish I could have been able to do this, to pull this off. Getting like a giant cardboard cutout of your head and buying a meet and greet with him just to go and have like a picture of you with Sebastian Stan.
That's hilarious.
My god, I really wanted to make that happen one day. I'll make that happen.
I would die. That's so funny. That is so funny. Did I tell you about the time we were driving in LA, we were going, so I don't know if I mentioned it. I don't live in Southern California. I live in Northern California. But we were driving down to LA because we were going to Disneyland, and we're driving and I'm minding my own business in LA traffic, which is the worst. And my daughter in the backseat is like, "Mom, I just saw Sebastian Stan." And I was like, "What? You saw Sebastian Stan?" She's like, "Yeah, he was in the red car over there." And I was like, "What?" There was no red car. It was too late. My chance was over. And this was when he was filming Pam and Tommy in LA. So it was
which
possible.
Is so good.
It's so good. I have things, unrecognizable. You know, I have things to say. I don't know why we didn't bring up Pam and Tommy, because I also watched that this week.
I haven't finished it, but
are you up to date with them? Because I think there's one more episode coming.
No, the last one we saw was when the tape came out, and she sees people at work watching it, but we haven't watched since then. So I gotta catch up.
So I think you have a couple. I think that's where I was before I caught up this week, because I missed two episodes.
Yeah.
So they are both so unrecognizable in this portrayal.
Yeah.
And I mean, when all of the original like scandal broke with Tommy Lee and Pam Anderson, we were young, like
you were little.
I didn't know anything about this until the series was coming out. But recently I was watching the NBA like All-Star Weekend stuff, and there was a commercial that was like, it's for a series called, I think it's Rich and Shameless on TNT. And the first episode, and this is the one they were advertising, was about the sex tape with Tommy Lee and Pam Anderson. And they were showing like video clips of that time of Pam and Tommy, like paparazzi or whatever. And I was just looking at it, I'm like, they look exactly like
The same.
They it's like it's phenomenal. It's amazing. They like look exactly like them. I don't props to like them. Like they are
on it. Every now and then Tommy Lee's current wife will pop up on my TikTok and she'll have him in the background and I'm just like wow. They did such a good job with casting. He did such, and both of them have done such a good job with the acting.
I watched them. They were on, I think it was Kimmel, before like the movie or the show. It was like the night before the show premiered. And they were both on Kimmel together. And Sebastian was saying how they both did this where they would scream into a pillow so that they could get like that raspy voice. And it was so cute. It was so cute. He was like, oh, you do that too? So cute. They're adorable together. Like, and I don't know if you've seen the clip from this interview.
I haven't. I'm nervous.
Sebastian Stan. So Jimmy Kimmel shows a video of like Sebastian, like I guess on set, like preparing or whatever. And it turns out that he would wear like these stainless steel balls to like help him get into the role. Lily was sitting there and she was looking at him. She's like, I am so glad I didn't know about this while filming.
What?
Oh my gosh. I have to send you like a clip from this.
I need to see this. What?
I about died laughing. It is so funny.
Yeah, I have to see this.
This is so, so funny. I will send you a clip. Maybe I'll cut it in like on the video too and just be like, here, you guys can watch it too. Wherever it is. it's so funny. The whole interview is just, they're just so funny together. And I like
them
together.
They have really good chemistry. They have really good chemistry.
Well, and I saw when they came back recently and they did a variety shoot together, they like didn't recognize each other because they only saw each other and Tommy
in costume. So,
So when they came onto the shoot, they were like, oh, that's what you look like. Like I thought that was their chemistry is really great. They work off each other really well.
Seeing
them in interviews is it's very cute. I like it. But it was just that interview was so funny.
Oh my God, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, you'll watch it and you'll be like, oh my God.
They're so weird. So,
but, you know, with all of Pam and Tom, I'm so conflicted watching Pam and Tommy because it was such a traumatic experience for Pam Anderson. You know, she's not involved in the project. Tommy Lee is not involved in the project, and you know, like they're kind of just reopening this wound for her. And I feel so bad for her. I remember seeing that like Lily thought that Pam Anderson was going to be involved when she signed on, and then she found out she wasn't. And I think she had like conflicting, you know, feelings about it. I mean, I think they're doing a really good job of like humanizing Pam, I think.
And being respectful of how hard it had to have been for her.
Yeah. And that line where she's like, it's not the same for you. You know, you're not a woman. Like it's crazy.
No one will ever understand.
Not at all. And I just, poor girl. Like I don't really know much. I never really knew much about Pam Anderson other than she was like girl on Baywatch.
And that was another reason that they said it was okay, because she talks about it in the show, because I dared to be in a bathing suit.
Yeah. Well, I think the most recent episode, once you watch it, like they really like go head on into that, like where she's just, they're allowed to do it because she put herself out there.
It's not the same.
Yeah. The series I was talking about, the Rich and Shameless series, they talked about how somebody who had, I guess, seen it was saying like, there's only like a very minuscule amount of actual sex in the actual sex tape. Like it really is just them like filming their lives together.
Their life.
And so, and how like in love they were in that moment, because it was such a whirlwind for them. So it's crazy. It's just crazy that this stuff is happening. But
yeah,
what can you do?
I have one more anticipating. I thought it was this week, but I just realized that today is the 6th and this comes out on the 15th. So it's next week. It's still The War of Two Queens, which is the next book in the From Blood and Ash series. The last book left us on a major, major cliffhanger. I almost threw my Kindle across the room. I have not been able to fully breathe since. And so like, this is very much anticipated. I cannot wait. It's killing me that it's not this week, like I thought it was. It's next week, so I'll still be anticipating it next week, but.
So our next segment is my favorite part of this week, because I've been waiting for this for quite some time. This segment we call Fangirl Freestyle, where one of us will choose a topic to talk about, but the other person will have no idea what it is about until the moment it is revealed on camera.
I hope you did your homework, because I do not have anything.
I'm the one who doesn't know. I have a topic. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to say how I feel about it. I just want your pure reaction when I say it.
Okay.
Hi, are you ready?
Yeah. That's weird.
Hawkeye is responsible for what Wanda did in WandaVision.
No. No, he's not. I hate that everybody's so mean to Hawkeye.
Okay, first of all, that was a thought that I didn't see that said anywhere. It was just a thought that randomly popped up in my head. Like, I feel like somebody feels this way. And I'll explain why I think
it's his fault. I need to know. I gotta get some caffeine for this.
Okay, so I will explain why this. Okay. Clarify. I do not believe this. Not my opinion.
Okay, good.
It is just a thought that popped into my head, and I thought, I bet somebody in the world thinks this, and they're going to be very wrong. So here is my thought process. Okay. Hawkeye is the one who recruited Wanda to the Avengers in Age of Ultron. He is the one who was like, you can stay here and I'll send your brother and you can leave. Or once you walk out, you're going to be an Avenger. And she is inspired by his whole thing and does her moment, right? And so from that moment, they have this weird like bond, because when Civil War comes around, Hawkeye is the one who is like, okay, we got to go, you know, like Cap needs us, we got to go. So Hawkeye is the one who convinces Wanda to leave the compound and fight in this Civil War against Iron Man.
Okay.
So Hawkeye and Wanda, Clint and Wanda clearly have a relationship. At the end of Endgame, they stand at the end edge of the lake and they're just talking to each other, and I wish there was some way that I could let her know that it worked. and they have that moment, and Wanda's like,
she knows. Well,
she knows. They both know. They have that moment where they're mourning their people. And then they go their separate ways. And Wanda goes to find Vision's body and do, you know, and that's what happens when she goes to Westview. Mm-hmm. So where was Clint? Where was Clint to stop her, to help her deal with her trauma?
Okay, but where was Cap? Where was...
Well, Cap was gone. Or or you mean New Cap?
New Cap. That's true.
There's a way...
Where was... I mean, Thor was in New Asgard.
The argument
where
is...
Was anybody else? Why is
the
it
argument is
Why
that... Is it... They had that special relationship where they trauma bonded.
Logic, it could be Ultron's fault for starting all of it to begin with. She would have never been involved at all, you know, had they not had to go to Sokovia. Right?
Was that? Well, and then if you keep going further back, then it's Bruce and Tony's fault for creating Ultron in the first place. It's like a never-ending thing. It's just fascinating to me that I don't ascribe to this. I don't think that it's Clint's fault, obviously. Yeah. I think she had trauma and she didn't know how to deal with it healthily. And that's on her, you know. I don't think it's anybody's fault but her own, obviously.
I don't like Hawkeye slander.
There will be no Hawkeye slander on this podcast.
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner, if I don't marry Sebastian Stan, I will marry Jeremy Renner. That's my standard, people. It's Sebastian Stan or Jeremy Renner. I don't need to date. I know who my perfect men are.
Yeah.
So there will be no Hawkeye slander, but it was just a weird moment in time that it's the thought that popped into my head. And it's just really interesting because you know that there is somebody out there who honestly believes this.
And see, now I can't even remember, where was he? What was he doing?
What was Clint doing? We don't know, because Hawkeye picks up.
This was after the Ronin. Yeah.
It was, so Westview happens, what is it, like 6 weeks after the blip? Is that what, I can't remember. Yeah. It's like 6 weeks after the blip, right? So, and then Hawkeye is, Clint's like what? He's with his family. That we don't see Clint again until like Christmas time. Like, visually in the MCU. So
was he spending time with his family because of the time that they missed?
Right. I mean, that's
maybe he didn't know. Did he even know that it was Wanda?
Well, and the other thing is, like, why wasn't he checking in on her?
Yeah.
Why, but you know, like,
did she check in on him? He lost something too.
Yeah. I
she
mean,
could have checked in on him.
She could have, but he got,
they all lost something.
Everybody lost something. Everybody lost something. Everybody's traumatized. I feel like it's just really compounded with Wanda, because she lost her parents, and then she lost her brother, and then she lost the love of her life, and you know.
Okay, I have a sidebar, and it's not going to mean anything to you because you haven't read it. If I can't even tell you his name, if the guy who plays Quicksilver, who plays Pietro in the films, not
not Evan Peters.
It's a film, but it's not a film. Yeah, not Evan Peters. The other
not
guy.
Evan Peters.
If he does not play, if it ever comes to fruition, if it ever becomes a miniseries,
Aaron
or a movie,
Taylor
if
Johnson.
He does not play. Yes,
thought
if
of the name.
He does not play Castile Denier in some From Blood and Ash something, I have no faith in the world at all. I have no faith in the world at all. He's got to be Castile. No one else will do. Anyway, sorry, back to this. My dog just barked, and she's coming. About something. She's agreeing with me that
she's agreeing with you. It's really it's just really mind-boggling to think that there's probably at least a small percentage of people who actually believe this and actually blame Clint for Wanda's actions in Westview.
If you feel that way, I would love for you to get on here and talk to us and give us like your logic of how.
I would be really fascinated to hear. I mean, I feel like I made a lot of arguments on their behalf, which is really weird because I love Clint. I love Clint and I loved Hawkeye. I loved seeing him as like this street level superhero and just getting through his trauma.
His trauma.
But I
feel the worst for him. Especially after Black Widow and I mean, I guess her sister coming after him when he loved her too. Like that's awful. That's awful. It's not like this is somebody he didn't care about that he lost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is his best friend.
Yeah. That's my hot take of the week is that
hot Clint take Barton, of the week.
My hot take in this.
How am I going to top that?
In this fangirl freestyle, my hot take is that Clint Barton is responsible for Westview. It sounds so weird to even say.
I love to hate it. Yeah, it sounds really weird coming out of your mouth. It's
really weird to say it because honestly, you think about it, what the fuck does Clint Barton have to do with Westview, North New Jersey? Like nothing. He has nothing to do with it. That was all Wanda. So yeah. So that
I might have to come up with something good for next week, and it's not just gonna be my hot take that Captain America is the worst. which I fully agree. I fully believe. But no, I'll have to find a
crazy theory. Yeah, I think that's the funnest part is making up these crazy theories that you like don't necessarily agree with, but I feel like I need to
clutch my pearls. Like what?
That's why I didn't want to talk to you about it beforehand. I was like, this I need to see her reaction because
I love that.
It's a fascinating take. It is a fascinating take. I feel like there's definitely somebody who believes it. I don't believe it. No,
I don't either. Not at all.
No.
But I would love to talk to somebody who does. I'd love them to explain it to us.
I probably still won't agree with them, but one more theme that we didn't even mention at all in this episode is that Mandy and I are both writing books. So we will figure out a cute little segment name for that and we'll give like book updates on future podcasts just about where we're at, struggles we're having. I have a great story that I'll tell you about on our next show because I'm a hot mess.
This will keep us accountable too.
It will.
Talking about it on the podcast will help us write more and maybe I can figure out a freaking name for mine.
So that's that. We are also writing books. So keep us accountable. We probably, I don't think either of us is ready to talk in depth about the plot of the books.
Publicly yet.
Not publicly too much about the plot or the storyline. But I will say from my perspective, writing a book is really weird.
It's very, very, it's very weird.
I was telling Mandy this. I started writing a character and it did not turn out how I expected it to be. And now I have because
you think
one thing and the character tells you something else.
Yeah, you think, oh, it's all like I'm gonna write this. I'm gonna come up. No. The character is in your head. Like that's not my story.
You're not writing. You're not making up a story. You are a biographer at this point.
I'm just
here to take it down. Mm-hmm.
Literally, my main character showed up in a dream years ago and like showed me things about her.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like I didn't even like come up with this person on my own. Like it appeared to me in a dream and I have like let it simmer for a few years and every now and then she'd pop back in and be like, oh, and this, oh, and this. And when I started writing it down, then she was like, oh, wait,
here's
a lot more.
Here it is. That's awesome.
And then you'll write something and they'll be like, oh, hold on.
Bestie. That's not right.
That's you have to go back and like change it. I've been sitting there crying over my laptop, like,
what? Why? Well, mine, I told you mine. I was like writing and I was like, I had zero intention of there being like a love interest or any kind of love story. And now I'm like, just kidding.
Just kidding. Yeah.
Oh boy. I was not
funny
prepared for that.
Demanding they can be. No.
It really is. No. I said it to somebody. I'm like, fictional characters can be rude, but your own fictional characters are way worse.
Yeah.
It's like, really? I gave you life and you're going to tell
everything, me. After everything I've done for you, this is how you repay me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So if you do love us, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Spotify, wherever. We don't know where we're going to be quite yet because we haven't set everything up.
You're listening.
We are recording this before we have set up officially our website and our podcast hosting. So we don't quite know where we're going to be, but you found us. So
wherever you're listening to us, subscribe there. Next week, we'll be able to tell you more detail.
In more detail.
Where we're going to live.
In the meantime, you can follow us on social media. We are We are at the Incoherent Fangirl on Instagram and TikTok. Incoherent Girls on Twitter, because Twitter has a 15-character limit, which makes me quite upset.
Shameful.
We also have a Facebook page, The Incoherent Fangirl, which you can like as well. We will also post there. Or you can send us an email at theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We might read it on
especially if you think
it's Clint's fault.
Everything's Clint's fault. I really want to talk to you.
Yes. If you think that Westview was Clint's fault, please send us an email so that we can talk to you about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if you have other hot takes that you think would be interesting to hear us talk about.
Yeah, I want to hear them all.
I want to hear everything. Tell us what you want. Tell us what you want us to talk about.
Yes.
Because we are here to entertain you. Yes. As well as just kind of hang out with each other.
I know. This is a mixed. I don't know. I guess you did see it, but I just want to talk to my bestie from the Westie. Is all, so this is a good excuse. That's your new name.
That's perfect. I can't do the same thing because you can't say
there's no
East Coast equivalent to that, so you will have to be posting all of that fun stuff. I will link all of our socials as well as our personal TikToks, because I think that Mandy is hilarious, so you should follow her. And I'm just here for the fun.
We were really worried that we wouldn't have
talk about
like 10 minutes. And yeah. We're sitting here staring at each other.
Well, I mean, your face is very pretty, so I'm okay with that too.
You too. Right back at you.
Oh, I guess we
and
should
I'm
bring
lucky
up.
In that I'm lucky in that before we actually start recording, I get to see your offspring.
Yes. She was very cute, and hopefully she will be less than. She's literally sitting there staring at me right now.
I love her.
So she'll get to have some Aunt Mandy time every now and then too.
Yeah.
But another thing that we forgot to bring up is Patreon. We're playing around with the idea of starting a Patreon for the podcast. So what kind of things would y'all want to see if we did that? We obviously are a podcast, so it's more of a listening thing, but we're recording this on Zoom since we are not anywhere near each other. So we have video, and we will probably do like full episode videos as one of the Patreon perks. But what else What other kind of things do you guys want to see from us?
Right.
So
we want to give the people what they want.
Yes. So reach out to us on our socials or send us an email. Just we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Please be our internet friends.
Yes, we want all of the internet friends.
That's how we started being friends.
That I was gonna say, we didn't talk about like our origin story at all. We just talked about us individually. Maybe that'll be our intro for the next podcast.
We'll talk about it next week.
That'll be our starting point.
Because we have met too, so we can talk about that.
Yes, we have also met in person. So that we are not just internet friends. Though, however, if anybody wants to be like, you're just get out. Internet friends are real friends.
Yes.
I will 100%. I will hear nothing of
die
of the
on
sort.
This hill.
That is the hill I will die on. Ooh, that's another thing. That's another thing for next week. I'm going to write it down.
That's a segment.
Hills that we will die on. I will die on. Yes. Because I have a couple of those.
I have a lot. Yeah, I have several.
So this podcast will evolve as we figure our shit out. Because we're very incoherent at times. And we just kind of shit comes to us. So sit back and enjoy the ride. We hope you like it. We're excited for this journey, and we are excited to have you with us.
Yep. And that is the Incoherent Fangirl.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. We love you.
Bye.